Okay. So in this week's parasha, we have, I don't want to be the word pretentious, but I think this is the most important lesson you're ever going to learn for the rest of your life. And to the 5,999,999,900 people in the world who are not here today, unfortunately, they could not make it. I think they're possibly at a wedding tonight or elsewhere. Most of them are at the wedding. But to those who aren't, they're elsewhere. They're watching a Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball game because as I was in the taxi coming here, the cab driver was listening to a Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball game, and I heard the announcer say, "Come on, Mr. Hakim Kadusal. That's the way you play basketball." So I wasn't sure what he meant, so I told the driver, "With your eyes open. If you're going to play basketball, keep your eyes open." So how do we get on to that? Oh, because we were saying there's a very, very important lesson, and if you internalize this, you will be happy every second for the rest of your life and for the rest of eternity. Okay? I take no money for this. You know, no accolades, no applause, no standing ovation, at least until I'm finished. But, to think, internalize, absorb, and apply. Okay? Remember, very important. So, we have at the beginning of the parasha that God wants to send plagues to Egypt. Now, what's strange about the plagues? That there's a U in the word play, and you would never think, why would plague be a U? That's the first caution in this week's parasha. Next, the first three makos are not smart, but dumb. Sfar, okay, I'm just trying to keep you awake with really bad jokes. Sfardea. Tinim. So you have the Makkah of blood. Now how does the Makkah of blood start? Where does it start from? From the Yor. From the river. Okay? What's that song? Like a bridge under water. No, it's not under a river. It's water. I will lay me down. So that's what Yocheved was humming that when she put Moshe in the river. She laid him down. It was a happy ending. My sweetest friends, we're off the topic once again. The Yor gets it. The dam comes from the Yor. Next up, Svardeya. The frogs come from? Why is a... This is the last really bad one for the night, and then I'm going to get serious. Why, okay. How does it go? I have a good line for this. How does a frog say interest like a Svardi? Repeat. Because interest is repeat. Okay. We're continuing now. Dam and Svardeya Kinim. Now, where does Kinim come from? Unfortunately, a lot of the kids in my child's class is hair. But in addition, they're supposed to keep them home, and many parents do. But some parents figure, why should I keep my kid home when he has lies if he can go to school and not have it at home? So Dam Svardeya Kinim. So most parents don't. Most parents make sure to check their kids for lice, and I make sure to marry somebody who will check my kids for lice. Dam Svardeya. Where does Dam get it from? The Yor, the river. Where does Svardeya get it from? The river. Where does Kinim come from? The dust of the earth. So who was commanded to give these three makos? Aaron and not Moshe. Now Aaron we know is the Kohen Gadol, but that's not one of the jobs of the Kohanim, the Beis Hamikdash, to give makos. Why Aaron and not Moshe? So Chazal say the weirdest, wackiest, crazy thing that I've ever heard. They said that if you drink from a well, you shouldn't throw a rock in the well that you drink from, but I don't think you're allowed to end the sentence with from. You're allowed to say, I'm from, but that's already a religious expression and not an English one. Don't throw a rock to a well from which you benefit. So therefore, since Moshe benefited from the river, because the river took care of him, until the daughter of Paro, whose name is Bisya, they call her Bat, it's Bisya. Bisya Bas Paro. She took him out of the river. The river took care of him until he was saved. So therefore, Moshe, don't start up at the river. Don't give the river a makkah. Comes around Kinim, and the dust of the earth also helped Moshe. How? Because when he smote the Mitzri, by the way, they stopped smiting people after the close of the biblical canon. Ever since then, they whacked people, they hit people, they destroyed him. There are all these different words that they use today, but back then they smoked. So, after he smote the Mitzri, where did he put him? In the dust. In the dust of the earth. Since the dust of the earth saved Moshe, don't make the dust of the earth turn to Canaan. Don't start off with the dust of the earth. Moshe, you benefited from water and from dust. So therefore, I don't want you to give them the Makkah. Rather, Aaron will do it. Isn't that nice? Why is that crazy, wacky, silly, and unbelievable? Because water doesn't have feelings. I'm so sorry, water land. I'm going to drink you. I'm going to put you inside of me. And then I'm going to take you out of me and say, Asher Yatzar, I'm sorry for mistreating you, water land. What is the water? Doesn't have feelings. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. There's water right in front of me. I'm not afraid to speak not nicely to water. Why are we concerned about mistreating water? Water treated me nicely, and I'm going to mistreat water. Saying it's my mother. My mother. So today there's a popular Hebrew name. The name is Ma'ayan. A lot of Israelis call their daughter Ma'ayan, which means a well. So if the girl's name is Ma'ayan, I agree that you should be nice to her. Some people also call their kids Eden. Oh, Me'eden, beautiful. Be nice to people. People have feelings. Water doesn't have feelings. Agreed? Agreed. You ever see a water? Well, I've seen water crying, I guess. But you ever see a water get sad? You ever see a water go to the psychologist? I'm saying you don't have water going to psychology. Water doesn't have feelings. Next. Dust of the earth. Dust of the, if the dust of the earth has feelings, we're in bad, it's in bad shape. Why? Because people are constantly trampling on top of it. Right? There used to be a comedian named Jacob Cohen. Have you heard of Jacob Cohen? His name in the movies was Rodney Dangerfield. But he wanted something that sounded a little more Jewish, so he decided to change his name from Jacob Cohen to Rodney Dangerfield. Anyway, Jacob Cohen used to say, I get no respect. I was like, well, I get no respect. So imagine if you're the dust of the earth and you have feelings, and people are constantly trampling on you. So let's assume now for a moment, I think it's a safe assumption, that dirt doesn't have feelings. So why is Hashem so concerned that Moshe shouldn't hit the dirt because the dirt wants help Moshe? He owes something to the dirt. There's actually a great story about Rav Gussman. Rav Gussman was the Rosh Yeshiva of a yeshiva called Netzach Yisrael, which was in, who knows? Rechavia, in Jerusalem. Beforehand, he used to sit on the Beis Din with Rav Chaim Ozer Grudzinski in Vilna. Can you imagine a 22-year-old boy who is sitting on the same court with the Gadol HaDor? Imagine Rav Gussman. Rav Gussman was a great man, a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He went through the war, and he survived the Holocaust. He said he was actually Zoche to fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek with his own two hands. He was hiding in this pit one time, and a Nazi walked by. He hid there for a year and a half with his wife. All he had with him was a Maseches Zvachim. He knew his Zvachim. That's what is it? There was no TV in there, right? No internet, right? I guess the guy had it. The guy who let him stay in the pit had internet. But Rav Gussman wasn't allowed into the house. He stayed in the pit. I don't think he would have used it anyway. He stayed in the pit, and what happened? He sat with his Maseches Zvachim, and he learned day and night. Anyway, one time a Nazi walked by. Rav Gussman was a very strong man. He went behind him, and he choked him to death. And that was how he was Makai in the midst of Mechias Amalek with his own two hands. Ashreinu, Ashreinu, I should say, Halabai, we should be Zilcha. We shouldn't see any more Nazis. Mashiach should come and they'll be taken care of. Okay? So, he, when he was in Yeshiva's Netzach Yisrael, he would water the bushes. Somebody said, what's the Rosh Yeshiva? The Yeshiva can't have anybody to water the bushes. He said, no. When I was in the Holocaust, bushes hid me. The bushes saved me. So therefore, I'm watering the bushes. I have to show gratitude to the bushes. So I think that's going a little bit too far. You say thank you to your mother. You say thank you to your aunt. You say thank you to the waiter. You say thank you to a bush. And he watered. And it wasn't the same bush. There was a bush in Germany where he was hiding. And there was a wherever, Poland, Vilna. And there was a bush. I'm aware that Poland isn't Vilna. But he was from Vilna. There was a bush in Jerusalem that made the yeshiva's Netzach Yisrael. It's still there, by the way. You can go there. It's only minutes away. A bush that looked pretty, that was there for decorative purpose. So he watered the bush. What sort of silliness is he trying to teach us? Which he learned from the Torah. The Torah says that if you receive benefit from an inanimate object, from a tzomeah, from greenery, or even from a rock, be nice to it. So, I have one more question, and then hopefully we'll answer it. It says that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Moshe, I want to appoint you leader of the Jewish people. So Moshe would never have been a politician. Because if Moshe was a politician, what would he have said? Of course! Who else? Why were you waiting? Moshe argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. 7 days of arguing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally convinced him that he's the man. Okay? Hashem said, Hashem said. But he says to Hashem one more thing. Before I go to redeem the Jewish people from their slavery in Egypt in 210 years, and before, you know, the 10 plagues, the splitting of the sea, the giving of the Torah, 40 years in the desert, getting man, before all that stuff happens, I have to go back and ask my father-in-law Yisro Rishus. In other words, you're speaking to the Rabban Shalala, God himself, okay? And who do you have to ask? No, I have to ask my father-in-law. Yeah, the guy who was an Ovid Abed Azari, he was the high priest in the Indian temple. Yeah, that guy. I have to ask him permission to go. First of all, if God says, you do. What did I say? If he says, jump, you say, off which building? Hashem said, jump. You don't ask questions. Which building? No question. That's A. B, what's going to happen in the meantime? In the meantime, Moshe's going back to Midian. Now Moshe, since he was such a humble person, didn't have his own driver. He didn't have one of those fancy, they have. I also, tonight I went on a really fancy, sometimes in Manhattan, I live in a nice neighborhood, so they have these cars, mamish, you know, like 40 feet long cars. Fancy, fancy limousines. Right, tonight I went on one three times the size. A mega bus. Anyway, so Moshe didn't have a limo. He didn't have a limo driver. It means he has to go back to Midian, okay, from Har Horeb, where Hashem appeared to him. He has to ask his father-in-law for permission, hope his father-in-law says yes, and in the meantime, the Jews are suffering in Egypt. So in the meantime, people are supposed to suffer, and the Medrash says, yeah. Why? If you open up your door to somebody, you're high of your life to him. You own everything. So, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have to go. But it's still very difficult to understand. So, we'll answer both questions. We'll start with the first set of questions about the first really basic question. First question was, does water or grass or dirt, do they have feelings? Do we have to be concerned with their feelings? Do we have to show gratitude to them? And therefore, Moshe didn't want to give them a makkah. And B, our second question was, why is Moshe going to ask his father-in-law permission to go just because he was nice enough to welcome him into his house when Hashem told him that he has to go to Mitzrayim? Not only that, it's even there's another chazal that says that the daughters of Yisro came back to Yisro and they said, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu Miyad Elohim. An Egyptian man saved us from the shepherds. So chazal said, you know who the Egyptian man was? The Egyptian who is hitting the Jew, who Moshe Rabbeinu killed, okay? And since Moshe Rabbeinu had to run away, it was really that Egyptian who saved us. So we have gratitude towards that Egyptian. That's also very, very weird. You have gratitude because an Egyptian was hitting a Jew, Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian, and because of that guy, Yimach Shemo, Moshe Rabbeinu had to run away. And because of him, the daughters of Yisro said, Moshe Rabbeinu said, that Egyptian saved our life. Also, you have to understand, they have gratitude to that Egyptian. So in the Michtav Me'eliyahu, Reb Dessler, you got to love him. So in volume 3, you can look it up afterwards, it's worth, I would say $1 million, but that's small money. Take your whole life, every second of your life. He says like this. He says, we have regesh, and we have sikh. We have our brain, and we have our emotion. Now, we have to pay very careful attention to our emotion, because we know that very often we act, usually we act based on our emotion even more than we act based on our intellect. Very important. Now, intellectually we might know, which in itself is debate, because Rav Bloch, I'll just give you a Ma'ariv Makom if you want to look it up, there's a sefer called Shiurei Das of Rav Bloch, and he explains Kabbalistically water does have feelings. Water has an neshama, and you really are affecting it if you show a lack of gratitude to water, you really hurt the water's feelings. That's Kabbalistically. But now we'll just do it rationally. What we see with our own eyes, that water doesn't have feelings, not negating the other pshat. But we'll go along with this, just on our level, very simple level. So, since we live our lives based on our emotions, even though we know intellectually that water doesn't have feelings, that the dust of the earth doesn't have feelings, but still, if Moshe Rabbeinu would have given a makkah, if he would have smitten, if he would have caused all the water to turn into blood, you know what that would have done to Moshe Rabbeinu? It would have made him an ingrate. Because he benefited from the water, so he feels his regesh, his emotion, feels a debt of gratitude to the water. Ah, you're going to tell me that it's like, you have a baseball player. You know, he hit his 700th home run, whatever it might be, with the help of steroids, without the help of steroids. We're not going to get into that right now. If everybody's cheating, then it's really fair game then, right? So as long as they can prove that everybody's cheating, it's fair. Right? What does he want? He wants the ball. He loves the ball. They kiss the ball. What are you kissing the ball for? When the ball has feelings? No. But emotionally, you feel that this was the ball. Feel an attachment to the ball. People very often feel an attachment to inanimate objects. I remember when I was bar mitzvah, I got a watch, and I'm still wearing the watch today. 11 years later, I'm still wearing this. Baruch Hashem, I have one chavrus who's laughing because he realizes that if it's 11 years ago, we're the same age, and I have a 12-year-old daughter, and he's about 24. So, almost. So I'd invite you guys to the bas mitzvah, but there are going to be a lot of very attractive young women who are not ready yet to get married, so you can't meet them. Anyway, off the topic now, I start thinking about my daughter. Yes, so I have sentimental value. Whenever I can't find my watch, I get new. Where's my... It's a stupid watch. It just tells me what time it is. There's plenty of watches in the world. But you have a regesh. You have a sentimental value. You have a feeling of connection towards this inanimate object. Now, if you derive benefit from something, and then you go and you take it, if I would take this watch, which has told me so many thousands of times, this watch has said to me, Ermin, you're late, buddy. I love this watch. Such a yak. Always on time. He's always telling me that I'm late. And whenever I look at it, always, oh, you're late. So, by the way, that's why they give. It's a minhag to give a chassan a gold watch before he gets married. So the chassidim say, I once heard from my Rebbe, that teaches you that time is gold. Why gold watch? Time is gold. You have to take care of time. That's why it happens to be a gold watch. And it's always telling me that I'm late. So if I would take this watch, which has done me so many chassadim, and gotten me so many places within 15 minutes of when I was supposed to be there, and I would smash it, what would happen? That would create generate within me a sense of ingratitude. And that would play itself out not only towards inanimate objects, but also towards the world at large. Like Chazal say, if you don't have a feeling of gratitude towards other human beings, in the end you're going to deny all the gratitude that you have to God. You can't separate it. The second a person has an emotion, so that carries over into all other areas of his life. Like I saw Rav Kook once said a very, very important thing. He said when you're in school and you have to study for Spanish history test. Spanish history. So except I see one person here who speaks Spanish, but for those of us who don't speak Spanish, don't care about Spanish history, have never been to Spain, you don't really care. So what do? You don't study for the test. 2 minutes before, you quickly look at the book, you remember a couple of really funny sounding words, you write something, a fake thing about a bullfight, and you're done with it. He said, Loto, you know why? Because you train yourself to be lackadaisical. You train yourself not to take your study seriously, and then when you start learning Gemara, you're going to treat the Gemara the same way. Like that, everything. You have a relationship. If you have a friend, and you're not faithful to your friend, you're not going to be faithful to your wife either. And if you're not faithful to your wife, you're not going to be faithful to Hashem. Well, if you're not faithful to your wife, you get to do both simultaneously. But this idea of being faithful to somebody carries over to all areas of our life. A person, let's say, he finds a heter to steal from a guy. By the way, where does it say, what happens to a person who steals from a guy? What's the schar that's written in Chazal? Gehenna, because Gezalakum is us. You're not allowed to steal from a guy. But the guy says, no, 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 he's a bad guy, right? And therefore you're allowed to steal from him. But I would never steal from a Jew. I promise you, anybody who would steal from a goy would steal from a Jew. It works the same way. And that applies to all areas of our life. Because you have a regex. You have a way of approaching something, and that's going to carry over into all other areas of your life. So therefore, Hashem was very careful. He said to Aaron, Aaron, you do the job. Because Moshe has to feel, Moshe feels a connection to the water. Moshe feels a connection to the dust of the earth. And therefore, he can't be the one to give the makkah. Because then, he'll feel ingratitude towards those inanimate objects. Well, I guess water could be animate, but certainly the dust of the earth. And then, what's going to happen? He's going to feel that way towards human beings. And then he's going to start feeling that way towards me. So you have to be very, very careful with your emotion. Emotion is very powerful. And most of our decisions in life are made based on emotion. That's what a person has to have. A person has to have gratitude. You have gratitude? In other words, you say, No. I can't. Even if it's, let's say, a pen. You have a pen. Since it's an old pen, why don't you throw it in the garbage? Are you kidding? That pen? That pen? Do you know what that pen? I used to... Pen! Pen! What a coincidence. Ezra's here from pen. Who would have known that I would have tied it into Ezra? Right? So you have a pen, okay? And you say, are you kidding? With this pen, they wrote my ksuba. I got married with this pen, okay? With this pen, I used to write love letters to my mother. So with this pen, this is special. What, I'm just going to throw it in the garbage? Throw it in the garbage? Food. It's an halacha. You see food on the floor, okay? Don't just step over it. See, sometimes food falls on the floor. One guy tramples on it. Another guy tramples on it. Gives you life. No. Treat the food nicely. Giving you life. What happens if you don't treat the food nicely? Well, your parents also gave you life. You're not going to treat them nicely. We say, no. If that food gave me life, and I'm going to treat the food nicely, then you're certainly going to treat God and your parents nicely. So that is how we have to relate to everything in this world. You benefited from something or somebody, treat it nicely. Treat it nicely. And that, again, applies even to inanimate objects. You got benefit from it, you don't just throw it away, you don't just discard it. And even if you do, you take something that you've benefited a lot from. A computer. You wrote down all your shiurim in this computer, and the computer breaks. So before, I promise you, it'll have a positive effect, as crazy as it sounds. You take the computer, you say, computer, computer. So much Torah I learned with you, computer, computer. I'm going to now kiss you. Mwah. I'm going to put you in two plastic bags, and I'm going to place you neatly in the garbage bin, in a clean garbage bin. I'm not just going to throw you away. And that engenders within a person a sense of gratitude towards something you benefited from. And again, that's going to carry over into all areas of your life. Now, what's the secret to being happy in this world? One word. Gratitude. Gratitude. You're happy? If you're happy, that means you have gratitude. And if you have gratitude, that means you're happy. Why? Because some people think that they deserve everything. So if they have two hands, they say, of course I have two hands. Everyone has two hands. And I deserve two hands. I can't live without two hands. Master of the universe. Put your two hands. My wife just yesterday, she went to a gathering of ultra-Orthodox Hasidic women who, unfortunately, they don't shave their hair off. So it's like a more modern gathering. But they certainly covered. Anyway, she told me that they saw a movie about a woman who didn't have arms. She lived her whole life without arms, and she did everything with her two feet. She cooked with her feet. She went shopping with her feet. She drove with her feet. And I don't know, I wouldn't want to live in such a neighborhood. Everything with her feet. Try it for one day, doing everything with your feet. Right? After you do that, say, oh wow, I have hands! Hands! And they can open, and they can close. Something like this. What's my favorite? The Chazon Ish. Elbows. Elbows, sweetest friends. Walk around for one day and don't use your elbows. No bending elbows. Straight ahead. Straight ahead. Try eating. Try doing anything. Try brushing your teeth. Try doing anything without bending. So the second you have gratitude, you're completely enriched. You're like everything. So the question was, do you have to have gratitude to the water? It's not for the water, my friend. It's not for the dust. It isn't for the bushes. It's for you. If you have gratitude, you benefit. So what are the first words out of a Jew's mouth in the morning? Thank you. Thank you. I was thinking once, we don't say ani modeh lefanecha. Ani modeh. Why modeh ani, not ani modeh? We don't want to start off the day already talking about ourselves. I recently had a good story. A guy was sitting on the airplane, and he met a guy, not a person he didn't know, a stranger. So for a half hour, he was talking about himself. So finally he said, you know, I've just been talking about myself for a half hour. This is so impolite. Tell me, what do you think about me? Right? So the first time, what do you think about me? The first thing, you wake up in the morning, you say, Ani Modeh. So you already start off the day with I. Loto. So how do we start? The first word out of your mouth in the morning is Modeh. Thank you. First word out of a Jew's mouth. Right? So that is how to have Hana in this world. You appreciate, and the more you appreciate. I remember once we lost plumbing in our house. Our sink just popped 2 minutes before Shabbos. Usually that's when it happens. 2 minutes before Shabbos, so we can't fix it. Okay? And then for the whole Shabbos, we kept having to walk over to the neighbors to bring over pails of water. Just like my great-grandparents in the Polish shtetl 350 years ago. Not so long ago, right? So I was like, indoor plumbing. Indoor plumbing. Wow. Guys, we are surrounded by thousands and thousands of things we take for granted. If we would just enjoy it, our lives would be changed literally mikatze ala katze, drastically. We'd walk around so happy all day long. Just everything. Just that you can see, and that you can hear, and that you can walk, and that you can talk, and that you can breathe, and that you can smile, and that you can think, and that you can write, and that you can do things, and you can eat, and you can digest, and you can sleep, and you can wake up, and millions and millions of things, and we take it for granted. And the way the Torah wants to teach us to create that sense of gratitude within us is have gratitude to anything and everything that you benefited from. So Rav Dessler goes one step further. He says an amazing thing. He says, what's the pleasure of Olam Haba? The pleasure of Olam Haba is that you look back when you die and you see that everything that happened to you in life was completely for your benefit. Everything was good. It was all chesed. And so we believe that everything God does for the good. It's all chesed. Okay? And then, when you appreciate all the gifts that God gave to you, even though you weren't necessarily deserving, you feel great! Because you realize it's a gift. Right? What happens next? You get the reward of feeling good, of being appreciative, of enjoying the fact that God is giving you a reward, and you appreciate the fact that God doesn't have to give you a reward. Why should He give you a reward? He gave you life and He told you what to do. He doesn't owe you anything. The Ramban says, Utstaka T-E-L-O, that Hashem considers it stuck up when you follow, it's considered stuck up when God rewards us because He doesn't have to. And then we say, God, you're giving me a gift. And then you appreciate Him even more. And then you get rewarded for that, and you keep going higher and higher in Olam Haba because you keep appreciating God's gift. And then He rewards you for appreciating Him. And then you appreciate Him more. And you get more pleasure from that. And then He rewards you for having that pleasure. And then you just keeps snowballing more and more appreciation of God, which is more and more pleasure. Because the more you appreciate, the more pleasure. Just like if a blind person would wake up in the morning and suddenly he'd be able to see, how would he make a big party? Make a big party. I've news for you. That happened just this morning to one or two guys in the afternoon. But everybody else in the room, just this morning, when that was a bad joke. Just this morning, when you woke up, you were blind. You couldn't open your eyes. You have hundreds of muscles in your eyes. For some people, it doesn't work. They can't open. And you were able to open up your eyes and see again. Ah, the miracle of the human eye. God gave you vision. So every morning, just for the fact that you can see, that you are not blind. And we know what it means. There are blind people in the world, right? You went to the blind museum. You went to the deaf museum. They're living in complete darkness. And you have light. You know, it always strikes me when I get up in the morning and I go outside, it's dark in my room, and I go outside and there's light, and all of a sudden I'm squinting, right? I'm squinting. Why am I squinting all day? Because my eye knows automatically how to adjust to the... I don't know how it works. But it knows automatically how to adjust to light. It just takes me a few seconds. There's some people who are very sensitive to light, and they have to wear special sunglasses. Their eyes don't adjust. And the same thing with darkness. You walk into a dark room, you can't see anything at first, and then your eyes adjust. Guys, we're not surrounded by one miracle. We're surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of million miracles. Everything you look at in this world is in some way miraculous. You eat the food, and the food knows exactly where to go. What body, what nutrients which part of your body needs. Carrots, they say, are good for your eyes. How do carrots know to help my eyes work? Because carrots read the label. All the food knows exactly what to do. And then your digestive system puts it into a nice little package. And then all of a sudden, like the old commercial used to go, how do you spell relief? R-O-L-A-I-D-S. Rolaid. It used to be for heartburn, right? And all of a sudden you have relief. And then you just continue on. And it cleans out your body. Your blood is going through your kidneys. Every 4 minutes, all of your blood is cleaned by your kidneys. All of the blood in your body. Let's say a person's kidneys don't work. What do they get? They get a special place on the Mount of Olives. It's over. Your kidneys don't work. You're dead. Or they can put you on dialysis, which almost kills you also. It's so exhausting. And then eventually the person dies unless they can find somebody else nice enough to give away a kidney. Guys, think about it. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's everything. It's everything we do and everything we see. So that's that. Now, we had Akash at the beginning. We asked about Yisra. So now we have that Akash Satov is Olam Hazeh, and it's also Olam Haba. That we're just continuously appreciating that God rewarded us. We're enjoying that. And then He rewards us for appreciating it. And then we enjoy that more. And then He gives us more reward and it's noble. Now, we asked about Yisro. It says that Yisro, Moshe said, I can't go redeem the Jewish people until what? Until I ask my father-in-law. So first of all, when God says to do something, you do it right away. And B, the Jews are suffering in the meantime. What's the answer? The answer is, I think, that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Why? So we appreciate Him. What is the first of the Ten Commandments? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. How does it go next? It's not a trick question. Asher Otzei Sicha Meretz Mitzrayim. What did you say? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am your father who took you to this city. I'm your father. That's what we have to know. What is He telling us history for? Answer. I'm your God. And me being your God means, what did you say, Donnie? I can't hear. Fulfill this promise. And therefore, what should we do?
Show appreciation.
The first commandment, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm God, and I took you out of Egypt. So me being God means that you're supposed to appreciate me. The famous Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, who says that's the purpose of creation. The purpose of creation is that we should appreciate and thank God. So God took us out of Egypt so that we should appreciate Him, and we should thank Him, and we should have gratitude. That is the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim. A, that God exists, and B, not only does God exist, but God exists is the God who does us so much kindness, who performs so many kindnesses for us. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu is about to redeem the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. They have to learn this lesson, to have gratitude. Let's say Moshe redeems the Jewish people, and he doesn't ask his father-in-law. He doesn't ask him Rishus. Yisro, excuse me, opened up his home to Moshe. He was kind to him. He gave him his beautiful daughter Tzipporah as a wife. Okay? And Moshe doesn't ask him for permission. He just goes to redeem the Jewish people. What does that mean? It means that he's showing a lack of gratitude. Wait, you don't come and say goodbye? You don't ask me permission? You just leave like that? You don't say no closure? Today people get very upset when you don't have closure. No closure? You're not going to say, you're not going to ask me, you're just going to go? You're going to disappear into thin air? So therefore, we would learn from that that gratitude isn't so important. Because Marlon, I'm busy. I got to go. I have work to do. My boss told me I have to go somewhere. No, no, no. To show gratitude. It's very pushy. Moshe understood that if Hashem told him to redeem the Jewish people from Egypt, Moshe knew that Hashem first wanted him to go to Yisro to ask permission. Because that's the way he shows gratitude. I'm hiding my life to you. Yisro, you opened up your door for me. So Moshe understood himself. He said, if God is telling me to redeem the Jewish people, which is in order that we should show gratitude to Hashem for all the chasadim He's done for us, that in order to learn this lesson, I have to first ask my father-in-law, Yisro, for permission to leave. Say goodbye. Otherwise, people will learn that you don't have to have gratitude. And then the whole lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim will be lost. That's why I didn't just go run and do it. And that's why, even if the Jewish people are going to suffer, even if they're, you're right, Hashem told you, but he understood that Hashem wanted him to ask permission. And also, even if it means a few more days of suffering, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's not so pleasant to suffer. But you have to learn the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to have gratitude. So, important lesson in life.
that if you're going to write notes to yourself before you give a shiur, you should make them legible.
But anyway, the point that I want to make, my sweetest friends, I think is well taken, and that is that the foundation of everything, of our lives in this world and the next world, is Hakaras HaTov, and therefore, that has to change everything. For example, have you ever seen anybody starve to death? Baruch Hashem, not. Where we come from, people usually don't go more than about 25 minutes, an hour without eating. Hashem, food is plentiful in these parts. But I want you to think for a moment about what it means to starve to death. Okay? Now, we all could starve to death, but God decided to give us food. He could make a famine. There could be. It has happened in history. In this very city of Jerusalem, less than 100 years ago, people were dying of famine. You know that? There was hunger in Jerusalem less than 100 years ago. People literally were dying. Rabbi Levine, the famous story about Rabbi Levine, that there was once a stuck organization, and somebody sent them money to give to Rabbi Levine, and the guy came to Rabbi Levine and said, "Is this you?" He said, "Yes." He said, "No, I want to check out, maybe there's another Rabbi Levine." He said, "But I really need the money. They sent it to me from America, and my family is starving." He said, "No, I have to first check out if there's another Rabbi Levine." And this is, so he went to the other family, he found out, no, it really means this Rabbi Levine, and by the time he got there, Rabbi Levine was sitting Shiva for his son who died of hunger. Literally, not so long ago, I knew Rabbi Levine's son, Rafael Levine, his grandson sits here in the base matter sometimes, literally dying of hunger. So when you eat food, God is saving you from dying of hunger. But he spoils us so much, and he gives us so much food, that we don't appreciate it. Like, what's the big deal? Food's everywhere. If I don't eat, what, I'm going to die of hunger? If I don't eat here, I can go to bonkers. If I don't go bonkers, I can go to the shawarma. If I don't want shawarma, I can do falafel. If I don't want that, I have a piece of plastic in my pocket. I can go to the Citadel, and I can get sushi. Even better! God, I'm not worried. I don't care if you don't give me. I'm gonna eat dinner here, but I don't have to bench with Kavana. Because if I wouldn't eat here, I would have had a much better meal of sushi elsewhere. No. God gave you food. And that means he saved you from starving to death. He made food very plentiful, so we don't appreciate it. And he told you, bench, so that you appreciate it. How many times a day is somebody supposed to appreciate Hashem? Chazal say, 100 for every time you make a bracha. Try, don't try, it's against halacha. Not going to the bathroom when you really, really, really have to go. You're just holding it in for hours and hours. There are people like that. They have a problem with that part. If you speak to doctors, they can tell you about certain obstructions that can happen inside. They can't go. Very unpleasant for those who've ever been stuck on a bus maybe and they couldn't. Very unpleasant. So that's a bracha we make a few times a day. Every time you eat something, when you go to sleep, when you wake up in the morning, all the brachas we make, but Chazal say even better. Kol neshama tehalleliyah. Every neshama should praise Hashem. Neshama can also be read. Neshima. What's neshima? Breath. Every time you breathe, you have to thank Hashem. Why? Because everybody in this room wants to be alive. Hashem is giving you life. One thing about life is that nobody can give you life but Hashem. If He chooses to end it, all of the doctors in the world cannot help you. If your life is supposed to end, it doesn't matter which doctor. The best, the most advanced medicine, they haven't saved one person from death yet. No doctor has ever saved a person from dying at all. Maybe they can push it off for a little while. But everybody goes. What about creating life? What do we do? You guys don't know. I don't want to talk about it publicly. But let's just say a man gives a woman a small gift. The woman receives the gift. She does nothing except for eat breakfast. And she eats her Rice Krispies in the morning. And the kid gets ears, nose, a mouth, a digestive system, a respiratory system, legs, arms, eyes, a brain, billions of cells, everything in the human body. And nobody did a thing. Ask a doctor to do that. Nobody can do it. Kadosh Baruch Hu. Man does what the man does. The woman does what the woman does. A human being. God can give life. God can take life. So if you just walk around, I'm alive. As a matter of fact, they say, and this will end, the greatest feeling, you ask some people, what was your greatest moment of life? What was your greatest moment of life? You know what they'll tell you? When I thought I was going to die, I was sure I was going to die. You'll meet somebody like that. In the Holocaust, some event, somewhere, they're walking through East Jerusalem late at night, whatever it is, they're sure they're going to die, and then at the last second they were saved. They had a reprieve. How do they feel at that moment when they were saved? There is no feeling like it. But what did they get? They didn't get any money. You know what they got? Life. And there's no greater pleasure than feeling, I'm alive.
But since our lives usually aren't in danger, we don't appreciate it. So therefore, this is not chas v'shalom to tell you that anybody's life should be in danger, but just to enjoy every second of being alive, have our karas hatov, and to appreciate everybody around us, our parents, your rabbeim, not me, the good rabbeim, yes, who teach you Torah. They're giving you olam haba. They're giving you eternal life. See? What's better? Because of you, Rabbi, I'm going to live for the rest of time. I am your indentured servant. Karas hatov. Yeah, friends. Person does something for you. You never forget. The story about Rav Dessler. One time he traveled 8 hours, this Rav Dessler, Mitzvah Melio, from New York to Cincinnati to see Rav Silver. He's a big gadol. And Rav Silver said to him, "What'd you come here for?" He said, "I just wanted to say thank you. You helped my son." He said, "You traveled 8 hours to say thank you?" He knew that Rav Dessler had something up his sleeve. He needed help. So a few minutes later he said, "Okay, what can I do for you?" He said, "I just wanted to say thank you." And his lady said, "Come on, let's be real. I know you want to say, but what do you want from me?" Because he understood, you don't just travel 8 hours each way if someone does you a favor. This is not, no, really. I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much. That's all. So Rav Silver just shook his head and he said, "Oi, you're Bali Musa. Here's something else." Right? That's it. You travel 8 hours, somebody did you a favor. What usually happens in this world? People forget 5 minutes later. Right? What happens in sports? You play for the team for 15 years, you're a superstar. You have one bad game, they're booing you. Right? You're only as good as your last shot. Same thing in life. Guy does as long as he's good to you, he's good. The moment somebody, they're not doing exactly what you want, people forget. People forget very quickly. So let us be people of gratitude. And if we are people of gratitude, I guarantee you, we will be people of simcha, both in this world and the next. 2, 3, 4. If the rest of Shem is simple,